This is Breakfast.
This is an interesting one. The New South Wales government is set to lift the ban on genetically modified crops after an 18-year moratorium on the practice. The ban will be lifted from the 1st of July. Genetically modified canola is already grown in New South Wales, but this will open up the state to other crop types. Here is Agriculture Minister Adam Marshall speaking about it on ABC News.
The safeguards are there as there are already in other states where the sky hasn't fallen in, because the Commonwealth Government, through the Gene Technology Regulator, an independent, robust regulator, already controls what genetically modified crops can and cannot be grown. So there are plenty of safeguards in place.
Now, we're told that lifting the ban will boost an annual increase in crop production in a single year from 24 by about $580 million, or 9.1%. The total increase over a 10-year period would be worth about $4.8 billion if those figures are correct. But I guess there is still concern in the community. There have been long-standing campaigns against genetically modified crops that go back a long, long way. Our next guest used to have doubts about GM crops, so much so that he campaigned against it. But he's changed his mind. UK science journalist and author of Seeds of Science, Why We Got It So Wrong on GMOs, Mark Lynas is with us. Hello there, Mark.
Hello there. Nice to be with you.
Yeah.
And tell us a bit about your story, Mark. You were anti-GM. You were also an activist. And then you had a sea change. Tell us all about that.
For me, I was forced to change my mind because, you know, the other area I was studying was climate change. And I was spending a lot of time arguing with climate change skeptics. I know you've got a few of those in Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be saying to them, you've got to listen to the science. You've got to look at the scientific consensus on this issue. And, you know, I couldn't stick to a position which denied the scientific consensus on the safety of GM crops while promoting it on the, you know, the reality of climate change.
There have been a few texts already on our program this morning, Mark, and it is an issue I know that's been brought up a lot from farmers here in Australia, that the copyright, if you like, the ownership of those genetically modified crops, like Monsanto, for example, they will demand a royalty payment if you're growing those crops on your farm, whether you planted them knowingly or not. That was the fear anyway. Is that true? Is that still an issue?
No, that's one of those zombie myths that refuses to go away. I mean, that's never happened. It could never happen. And even Monsanto, which now, by the way, doesn't exist, it's now been taken over by Bayer,
yeah,
said right from the beginning, like 15 years ago, they would never do that because you can't charge somebody for inadvertent contamination of their land if such a thing had happened.
What about the copyright ownership, though, of seed types?
It really depends on the developer. I mean, with Golden Rice, for example, they said there wouldn't be any patenting, and so the farmers would be free to share them and to use them and to grow them. That's the whole point. If you want the crops to be useful, and the same goes for most of them in Africa. At a commercial level, I mean, yes, some are patented, some aren't. It's not really about whether it's genetically modified or not. It's about different crop varieties and traits, and, you know, that's something which farmers are already familiar with.
Mark, the other charge was, of course, that maybe animals would, you know, stray onto your property, they'd gobble up this rice or, you know, these modified crops, or they'd be fed to animals and they would cause deformities and so forth. What is the science here?
The science is absolutely clear on this. There's been hundreds of studies of this, which find that there's absolutely no difference, a meaningful difference between GM crops and conventionally bred ones. So, you know, a lot of the anti-vaxxers promote this kind of stuff, homeopaths. I mean, there is a strong theme in the sort of alternative medical scene, but you certainly won't hear anybody reputable making that kind of assertion anymore.
We have a text here on our, we take text during the program here, Mark. Wendy, surely the Nobel laureates are wrong. Playing with our food and our natural biodiversity is very dangerous. Their research funding is likely coming from big corporations who are chasing perpetual population growth to feed our economic system. None of this will end well. That is a pretty neat summation there of quite a few concerns. I mean, how entrenched is that kind of attitude there?
I think it is quite widespread. I mean, people want their food to be natural, whatever that means. I mean, like, is a COVID vaccine natural? Probably not, but I want one in my arm as soon as possible. So, to be honest, the ways in which we use science are so widely accepted in other facets of life. And, you know, if you want crops which can tolerate climate change, which can deal with droughts and floods and so on, and feed a growing world population, you have to use science. And kind of this sort of backward-looking insistence on naturalness is a bit of a fetish. I don't think it really has any basis in reality.
Mark, what about the idea that though these big companies develop crops that then have to use their pesticides, for example, so that they're making money not just on the seeds but on the kinds of products that have to be sprayed onto those plants when they grow? Is that going to be an issue?
Well, that was an issue with the first generation of GM crops, which is what gave them such a bad name. Was that when Monsanto first developed GM soya, it was intended for the use with Monsanto's herbicide, which is called Roundup or glyphosate. Now there's many different generations of GM crops doing different things. So a lot of the traits which, say, offer insect resistance, like the cotton, which is also grown in Australia, means you don't have to spray with insecticide, so you actually get a reduction in chemical use. So actually, if you use GM crops in the best way, it can improve environmental outcomes using less water, less chemicals, and giving a higher yield, which even environmentalists should support.
This is Breakfast with Robbie and Wendy.
Sydney.
ABC Radio Sydney.